Hello everybody, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody here. We're missing a few because some are not feeling well and some are dealing with a common occurrence called the flu. And so we're mindful of them, and we also know that COVID's running around and this RSV stuff, and so this is just the time of year. The weather gets cold, the weather gets warmer, the weather gets cold, and back and forth, and we just can't adapt that well. But anyway, we're glad to have everybody here. We're glad for those who might be watching on the internet. I mean, we're streaming these, and so hopefully you'll see something that will interest you and keep your interest, and you'll pay attention to what we have to say today. We always talk about the responsibility of ourselves as Christians to the world. And one of the things that we want to talk about today is the fact that we need to be a better person. And some of you are probably thinking, well, I'm the best person there is. I'm perfect. I mean, I'm Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. But no, when reality sets in, we know that... Did I turn that on? Okay, it's on now. All right. All these buttons have got to push, and I left one out. But anyway, it is our duty as Christians. I mean, this is what it's all about. And don't we all wish that everyone would be a better person? I mean, we all feel that. We know this world would be so much better, so much nicer, if everyone would just be a better person. And so... the golden rule in Matthew 7:12, as Jesus gave it to us, that we should treat others the way we would want them to treat us. And do we not hope that some bad people would turn their lives around and start doing good? Well, yeah, we wish that. I mean, it's possible. With some people, we think, well, there's no hope for them. But we have several people in this room that were bad, and they became good. And so we have some people that they turn their lives around. And so we know it's a possibility. We know it can happen. We just wish more people would turn around and start serving God and being better to other people. I mean, do we wish our neighbor, our boss, our associates, and people in general would treat us better than before? I mean, yeah, sometimes we feel like we've been mistreated, we've been picked on, we've been made fun of, we've been persecuted, and things like that. And we just wish it didn't have to be that way. And do we hope that people we meet each day and do business with would show us respect and treat us fairly? I mean, sometimes that's all we ask for. Just give me a fair shake. I mean, don't treat me like someone that's got the plague and treat someone else that like they're your best friend. I mean, just treat me fairly. And that's all we ask. That's what we ask from our government. Government has so many different standards and everything, depending on who's doing something. One person does something, they get arrested. Another person does the exact same thing. Oh, let them go. And it's no problem. And we just want everybody to be treated fairly and equally. I mean, that's what civil rights was all about, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. To be treated like everybody else, to be treated fairly, to be treated like a human being. And so, I mean, we want people to show just respect to us because, hey, I'm an individual. I'm a person. Don't treat me like a number. Don't treat me like a part of a category of people. You know, that they put all this stuff, people into white, black, brown. They put people into categories, rich and poor, stuff like that. No. Just show me respect because I'm a human being. And that's what we wish people would do. But a lot of times when you dehumanize people, you can mistreat them. There's no problem mistreating them. When you dehumanize somebody, I mean, there's no problem. You don't have to show them respect or anything like that. And when we're doing business, we want, like I say, we want them to treat us fairly. I mean, if we're buying gasoline from the local gas station down there, we hope that they have their pumps correct, because we'd hate to get gypped out of anything, right? We just want what's fair for us. We don't want any special privileges. We just want what's fair. Now, if we expect others to be nice and fairer, should we not make the effort as well? All right. Did that step on your toe there? Oh, yeah. I mean, we should really, it really needs to start with us. I mean, waiting for other people to change their ways and be nicer, I mean, that's something that we wish would happen. But let's face it, if anything's going to change, it's got to start with us. And we need to be a better person now. And that doesn't mean wait until next year. I mean, that's only 2 weeks away where we make our resolutions that I'm going to be a better person. The time to become a better person is right now. So do not put it off until next week or even tomorrow. Today is that day. I mean, that's what Paul talked about. Today is that day. And start right now and look at the person closest to you and be nice to them. Well, usually the person closest to you, you're around all the time. So I hope you're being nice to them. Let's put it that way. But anyway, just be nice to these people. Do what you can. Pay attention to the next person you meet and be nice to them. We're going to walk out this door and we're going to interact with somebody. Maybe a lot of people, might be a waitress at a restaurant, or a waiter at a restaurant, might be someone you see at the door. You hold the door open for them. Do something nice. And let's face it, after all, isn't this what love is all about? That's what Jesus talked about. This is what love is all about. Being nice to somebody. And so, he says, Matthew 22:39, the second greatest command, or the second command is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, so, and that's really a quotation from Leviticus 19:18. So even the Jews had this responsibility, love your neighbor as yourself. And they weren't living that way. And that's why Jesus had to bring it up, not only in the Sermon on the Mount, but here in Matthew 22 when he was dealing with the Pharisees. All right. See, you might be thinking to yourself, what can I do to be a better person? Well, that's one reason you came here today, right? Yeah, we came here to worship God, but we also need to learn practical lessons. What do I need? What do I need to do? And we kind of talked about this in class. Sometimes when determining what the congregation needs, I have to examine myself and see what I need. And I know I can be a better person. Now, some of you might disagree with that statement. Some of you might think, yeah, you're a pretty good person right now. But there's always room for improvement. We should never be satisfied where we are. There's always the next level we need to attain to. That's what we call growth. And we're commanded to grow. We're commanded to grow in grace and knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18. But we're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be developing ourselves. I mean, we're supposed to be, as we mentioned in class, developing ourselves to become teachers. By this time, you ought to be teachers, as the Hebrew writer said. And so, there's always room for improvement, not only in our spiritual relationship with God, but in our personal and physical relationships with other people. And that's really fits in with God's plan. If we can be nice to someone, and they see that and recognize it, maybe they will start being nice to others. And then that just gets the ball rolling. So here's some ideas. Maybe pick up the phone and call someone who would appreciate a thoughtful consideration. So a lot of times we don't do that. I mean, we hear their name mentioned at church, they're out sick, and we need we're told we need to pray for them. So maybe we do mention them in our prayers. But can you imagine how much that would make someone's day just to pick up the phone and say, how you doing? Can I do anything for you? Can I go grocery shopping for you? Or something like that. I mean, thoughtful consideration. I mean, wouldn't you want someone to be thoughtful and considerate of you if you were sick? If you were not feeling good? I mean, I don't even need to ask that question because that's a rhetorical question. But anyway, if we would just try, we could turn our society around and make it a pleasant adventure each day to interact with other people. And so we do that. See, help someone who needs help. I mean, that's one thing we can do. And even if they do not need help, at least show them some consideration. Maybe stepping aside, maybe holding the door open for them, saying, excuse me. I mean, we're at Walmart. We're saying this all the time. Of course, you come around a corner and there's someone there. Excuse me. I mean, it's just nice. Be nice to do that. And you kind of appreciate it when someone says, excuse me to you. You kind of appreciate that. Well, turn around. Do that for the next person. And do that. Or even just asking if they need some help. And that's what you do. Sometimes I'm walking down the aisle and here's this little short lady looking up at the top shelf. Do you need some help there? I mean, she's looking at that can of peas up there. And so you need some help there. I mean, so just being considerate of others and looking to what they might need. And I mean, what would that do? Boy, that was a nice man. He actually reached up there and got that for me. And so, I mean, to be able to serve someone, that's what the Christian life is all about. We're supposed to serve people. And this is one way we can do it. Just whether they ask for help or not, just look, there might be a need for some help there. So just ask. I mean, it doesn't hurt. And they might appreciate it, whether they need it or not. And, oh no, I was just looking at the ceiling. but still, I mean, they would appreciate the thoughtfulness. And who knows, that might inspire them to be thoughtful to someone else. You've heard the phrase, pay it forward. I mean, that's kind of like what we're talking about. I mean, so perhaps if someone has shown them kindness, they will turn the favor and show kindness to someone else. And that's what we want. We want a better world to live in. We want a better society. And right now, it's heading the wrong direction. So we need to turn this around. And we can at least start people on the right path to change our society. It might be one person at a time. Yeah, all these billions of people on this earth. Well, you think, well, I'm just one person. I can't make an impact. But you know what? You make an impact with the people you meet. That's what it's all about. The people you meet, you make an impact on them. Now, what kind of impact is it going to be? Positive or negative? Well, that's your choice. You have to decide that. See, in 1 John 3 and verse 17, but whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. I mean, that says a lot right there. If you have the ability to help someone, I think God places a responsibility upon you to help someone. A lot of times we just make it so easy just to, I mean, and just push it off to the side. Well, I just don't feel like doing that or something like that. But what we need to tell you, don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. We talk about, I love Jesus, I love God, and all those things. But, I mean, we're supposed to show our love to others. And that's what we're supposed to do. Notice here in 1 John 4:20, says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. All right, now you're questioning, Who is my brother? I mean, all right, this is where it gets kind of dicey here. Well, you think, okay, we're in a church setting, so my brother is sitting in this room with me. And so, I mean, I don't think we have a problem loving each other, caring about each other, because we all have the same goals, the same intent, the same purpose, and that's what we're here for. But our fellow man is our brother. I mean, it's not much different than when they asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? I mean, that's basically anybody you come in contact with is your neighbor. I mean, we can call them a neighbor. There may be 3 million people in this area, but if they're in this community, they're our neighbor. They may be 3 blocks down the road. They may be 30 blocks down the road or the other side of town, but in our part of the world, they're our neighbor. They are our brother. That's what we have to. Our brother is our fellow man. I mean, we're all God's children in one sense. And so, if we can't stand someone, if we're willing to mistreat them, then we cannot say, I love God. That's an impossibility. I mean, that just makes one a liar. Yeah, you can say it all you want, but it makes you a liar. So we just need to make sure we don't do that. And one way to turn your life around is to change your focus. And this is what we in the church are trying to get people to do. Change their focus. Get things off of the world. When you focus upon God, you're going to become a better person. No doubt about that. You're going to be a better person because your focus is upon God and doing the things God tells you to do than what these people are doing. And we're supposed to focus on Jesus. I mean, that's what we do. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, fixing our gaze on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I mean, so, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. Keeping our eyes on Jesus and watching him. When we have our eyes on Jesus, we have it focused in the right direction. And when we focus our eyes on Jesus, we're able to focus upon helping others to become a better person. That's what Jesus did. That's why he came to this earth, to make everybody a better person. I mean, that's kind of simplified terms. Yeah, he came to bring salvation, but this is what he did. He came to help people become better people. And those who respond to the gospel message, they do become better people. I mean, there's probably not a one of us who wouldn't say the people in this room are the best people in the world. I mean, we can all say that. I mean, these are the greatest people on earth. Why? Because we love them so much. See, part of that focus should be upon spiritual thoughts and matters. That's the refocusing of our life, getting it off of worldly things. I mean, so if you do not focus on spiritual thoughts, you will only be thinking of worldly thoughts, and you really do become what you are thinking. A person of this world. Is the world a nice place? Not really. Not the people in this world. Now, you take the people off this earth, you got a beautiful planet. There's a lot of beauty in this world apart from the people. It takes special type of people where you think, well, they're beautiful people as well. And so if we're only thinking worldly thoughts, then we're not the type of people we need to be. See, Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. What's in our heart comes out. You know, Jesus, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Jesus said, what comes out of the heart are the adulteries, the lies, the murders, and the evil surmisings. That's what's in the heart. So he says, it's not what goes in the body, but what comes out. And so this is what's in our heart. And so Colossians 3:1-2, I mean, we quote this quite often. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. this is a real difficulty for some people. Why? Because we live on the earth. This is where we live. This is where we make our living. This is where we interact with people and do things. And it's, we have to really make an effort to serve God, to be thinking spiritual thoughts. When we are speaking spiritual thoughts, we're going to be a better person. We're going to be a good example for others to follow, and we're not going to be out there using all the type of language the world uses. And we're going to be kind, we're going to be considerate, and we're going to be caring. And that's what the world wants everybody to do. The world is just trying to do it without God. And we can't do that. We have to do it with God. See in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So folks, as Christians, we should not be selfish and always think about me. It's always me, what I want, and things like that. I mean, we got to be thinking about others. And that's the message Jesus taught us. That's what Jesus wanted to do. Matthew 25, when he talked about the great judgment scene, separating the goats on the left and the sheep on the right, he said to them, "You saw me, and you took care of me. Well, when did we see you, Lord? Because you did it to the least of mine." Jesus is teaching us there that how we treat other people is a great bearing upon whether we're going to go to heaven or not. Doesn't matter if we come to church every Sunday and sing the songs and praise and sing hallelujah and give praise to God. If we go out there and mistreat people, it's all for naught. That's what we call vain worship. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Yeah, in Proverbs 29, it talks about pride goes before a fall. See, in Romans 12:17-18, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Well, how can we be at peace with people who don't want to be at peace with us? I mean, we might sit there and that might be our way of thinking. Well, they don't want to be at peace with me, so why should I be at peace with them? Jesus said, don't think that way. God says that's not the way to think. You try and be nice to them no matter what they do to you. You remember what he said there in Matthew 5. He says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. I mean, don't pay them back with evil. Don't pay back evil to anyone. Well, they mistreated me, so I can mistreat them. I mean, we consider this payback. And we like that because the whole world does it. Folks, we're not of this world. Reminder, we're not of this world. See, we can be a better person by lifting others up. I mean, giving them some encouragement, helping them out. And most people in the world are hurting in so many ways, and we may not always understand those ways. A lot of people who are hurting don't even know why they're hurting. They just somehow know they're hurting. And guess what? We come across their pathway. If we can give them a word of encouragement or give them something to look forward to, talking about the hope of salvation, I mean, that's something that can lift them up and maybe will resolve their problems. Because Jesus does fix all the problems if the people allow it. We just have to get them to start thinking that way. If we can lift up their spirits, encourage them, we will have done what God wants us to do. And we got to remember that. Romans 15, 1 and 2. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification. So that's what we need to do. I mean, everything we're doing for someone else, somehow, some way, we've got to convey the idea, I'm doing this because God wants me to. That's what we got to convey. Now, some people, well, I'm doing this because I love you. I mean, we might do that to our friends and our close associates. I'm doing this because I care about you. But really, what it comes down to, we should be being nice to people because that's what God wants us to do. See, in so many ways, God is watching out for us, and He is our shield and our strength. And we see that described in the Psalms. He's many things. He's our stronghold. He's our fortress. He's our tower. I mean, there are just so many ways in which God is watching out for us. And we know that. And if God is good to us, should we also be good to others? Yeah, we should be good to others. And so would that not show the great love of God coming out of ourselves? Yeah, that's what it would. It would do that. Showing the love of God when we're being nice to others. That's what it comes down to. And we also have a duty to our fellow man to help them any way that we can. Yeah, because, as I've said several times, we are servants. All of us are servants. As Christians, we are servants of God, and that makes us a servant to provide what people need. What do people need? They need the gospel. They need the truth. They need words of encouragement. They need the words. They need to hear the words that will help them get to heaven. And they need to learn ways in which they can teach others how to get to heaven. I mean, so that's what we can to help them in these ways. And sure, many will reject our efforts, and some will not appreciate our kindness. Okay, that's the reality we have to face. Well, just go around those people, because they might be standing in front of somebody who will accept our kindness. So look at that. I mean, don't let these soreheads ruin your goal in life to help others. Sometimes we get to that very first person, they're a sorehead, and I don't want to hear that. So guess what do? We go home, and we lick our wounds and say, oh, I'm not going to waste my time anymore. You just go to the next person. When the people rejected the teaching of the 70, Jesus said, what do? You shake the dust off your feet and go to the next town and teach them. So we must overcome these problems to help others. Yeah, I mean, what stands in the way of our helping others is ourselves. We're the ones at fault. We're the problem. And we need to overcome that. And at least we should try to help others. That's what it's all about. We should try to help others. We're commanded to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. I mean, Galatians 6:10 tells us that. We're to do good unto all men. And doesn't matter if they're a different color, if they speak a different language, if they have a different faith, it doesn't matter. We're to do good unto everybody. And that's what God wants from us. By doing so, we're showing the goodness of God and the love of God by our actions. See, we're to pursue peace with all men. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Pursuing peace, that means striving for it, looking for it, chasing after it. That's what it means to pursue. If you're pursuing someone, you're chasing after them. And so, I mean, we can understand that. So, if we do not, we will not be allowed into heaven. See, how we treat others has a big, strong bearing upon our salvation. Whether we were doctrinally sound is only part of the issue. I mean, if we're not nice to others, which God asks us to be, then we're not going to make it to heaven. So I would suggest you go ahead and make someone's day. Be nice to the next person you meet. It might cause a reaction, one that you've probably never seen before. "Oh, that person was nice to me." And, of course, they might question your motives, too. I worked with a lady in Texas one time. She was working as a cleaning lady at a hotel, and there was this family from New York. New York. But anyway, every time they walked by, she said, "Hello, how you doing?" Just being nice, congenial. The lady turned around and put her hands on her head. "What do you want?"
Oh, ouch.
"I don't know. I was just trying to be nice." She'd never experienced that before. This person had never experienced someone being nice to them just because they wanted to be nice. The only person who was nice to them was someone who wanted something. And that's what a lot of people in our world are facing. They don't experience people with genuine concern for others. And it's a rare thing. So that's why I say go out and make someone's day. And who knows, you might get them to question, "I wonder why they were so nice. I wonder why they were nice enough to me. Why did they reach up on that top shelf for me? Why?" They might figure out the answer one day. But our job is to serve others. And we need to remember that. So that's our lesson. We just really can't say it any other way. Be nice to people. I mean, that's what it's all about. We haven't talked about the gospel, but the gospel is very simple. We believe that God exists. We believe that man has sinned and separated himself from God, and God knew that we couldn't get back to him in the right way, so God sent his son to die upon the cross for our sins. And he gave us his word, the Bible, to teach us what we need to do. And we believe that word. And we know that part of that word tells us that we need to repent of our sins, to change our ways, and to serve him with the best of our ability, to confess the name of Jesus, let the world know that Jesus is my Lord and Master, and then be baptized for the remission of sins, and to have our sins washed away. We become a new creature, and we're added to his church. And then we live faithful, live the life that God wants us to live. That means we need to grow and learn what God wants us to do for other people. So we're going to offer the invitation. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.